With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
How contentious that bet was would have paid you with crumpled up dollar bills. I would have crumbled them all up individually and like left them in your spot.
Okay, I'm going to give you the $50 out here for the golf bet.
Oh my God.
Hold this.
I forgot all about it. The $50?
Yeah.
Great. What are you doing?
Take off my shoe. I got money in the shoe.
What?
And the Bulldog.
Used to do that with stuff at the pizza place. Like, we used to just, in front of the guy, like, pull the 20 out of your wallet, put it under your shirt, and rub your underarm with it, and then give it to him.
There you go. Take the $50.
No, I don't want.
Take the $50.
I'd really rather not. I don't want that $50 from your sweaty, disgusting sock and sneaker.
This is the payoff.
I don't want that $50. Give me a clean $50.
This is the $50.
I'm not touching that $50.
Take
I don't want
the
it.
$50.
No.
They're not paying you.
What?
I'm not paying you.
You owe me $50.
This is $50.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Bills over the Jets in Game 1. A game unlike any other in Bills history in that fans were not allowed in. We're taking your calls on what happened on the field, what wasn't possible for the rest of us. Such a staple of life here in Western New York to go out there for the opener. It marks the beginning of the season and just all it represents, not able to do it. On the field, no problem. We talked about how last hour, Bruce Arians, the Tampa coach, kind of called out Tom Brady for his play in Tampa's loss to New Orleans by saying words to the effect of, he was great in practice, and it wasn't that we saw anything from them that we didn't expect. Coaches love to tell you that they weren't surprised by anything that happened from the other coach. Oh, not my fault. I mean, I knew what New Orleans was going to run. We should have been better in our execution, right? You know, coaches have different ways of saying that to not being sort of called out for it. They just, but you know what it is. You know, you do this long enough. Who else did the same thing? Kind of? Adam Gase.
Yeah.
Asked if there's anything he would have done differently from a tweet by Jets reporter Rich Cimini. Gase said, quote, with what Buffalo was calling defensively, no. I mean, this guy, Bulldog, you said Halloween.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he won't make it to Halloween.
Just what an awful performance for your first game, wasn't it?
Yeah. And to say that, coming off of last year, coming off of all the criticism, I just... Listen, I don't know schematically. I assume the guy's a smart football coach, right? I mean, I assume he knows how to draw up offense. I'm sure there's ways he got the job that are way beyond my capacity to understand, you know, the attributes and how he makes them work for him. I just think the story on this guy is he doesn't know how to communicate. And someone who knows how to communicate would know how to say what he said there better than, no, I really wouldn't have done anything different. I mean, the Bills just, you know.
That's right.
If you have any idea of how to interact with people, employees, and get the best out of them, you don't say stuff like that. You just don't. I just don't think the guy knows how to work with, with people. It's tough, but I don't think he's cut out for it, man.
He did pay Sean McDermott a compliment through the CBS broadcast. The CBS guys, James Lofton, was talking about how in their conversation with Gase about McDermott, who he's faced a number of times now, he said basically where he's especially good is at attacking protections. And so that, like, that's one, maybe the leading challenge that Gase finds in playing against the Sean McDermott team. But, you know, here are the Jets where the quarterback, the timing's awful. You know, just like all the throws were like a little bit off, whether that's Darnold's fault. Probably sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. They took a delay of game penalty out after a kickoff, after a touchback. Like, how does that happen? You know how I would have sounded if, like, when did that happen? Mm-hmm. EJ or Edwards, like that kind right. of stuff happened. And that stuff does not happen on this team anymore. These little dumb things. End of the half, the Jets. I mean, that spike almost guaranteed the best they were going to do was a field goal. And they're lined up, but they're just like, you know, they're just not good. Just not sharp. And this team does not have those problems. It was like last year in that way. Just delay of game out of a kickoff drives me nuts. Why should that ever happen?
Yeah.
Like, sure. Let's go. Let's run the play we just talked about. And, you know, they can't even get the snap off. Awful job.
Yep.
Let's go to John with us here on WGR. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah. Wanted to comment on the Josh Allen running run or not run options.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, I agree with you. It is their best play, right? But I don't want it to be our best play, if that makes sense. I want a balanced offense, not in the sense of like run-pass ratio. However, if you look at Baltimore, if they want to, they can go between the tackles, it seems, and pile up 200 yards rushing. I would like to have the ability to run with our running backs when we want to, whether that's, hey, 2 minutes left, we need to gain a first down, run the clock out. But I would like that option, and then keeping it open for Allen designed runs or when he improvises or not. But I think that's one thing I would like to have seen more than yesterday.
Yeah,
is just the running game with our, no kidding, running backs.
And there really wasn't that, right? What did you have? You had Singletary go 9 for 30 and Moss go 9 for 11. So their success yesterday was in the passing game, which for me is better. I know what you're saying, though, too, John. Their success was in the passing game and Allen running, which, as we've sort of realized talking about this today, ended after his second fumble. His second fumble was his 12th carry, and it was still in the first half. And I doubt that it was a coincidence that that was his last run after that. You know, like, even on plays, right, Bulldog, even on plays where, like, he's looking to pass and he doesn't have it, he did not take off once after that second fumble.
Yeah. So maybe there was, maybe there was something at halftime that sort of coincides with some fan sentiment today, which is, you know, at least like where I'm standing is, I need him to run. It's a weapon. It is really, really good for them. Like the caller, I want Allen to Diggs and Allen to Brown and Allen to Dawson Knox to become their best plays. That's where you want to be. But for now, his running, and even when that happens, his running will still be valuable. I don't think I'll ever want it to not be something he does. I mean, if you're playing against a team that has a quarterback that can do that, that is, it's maddening that the guy can get away and get these yards and keep drives going and all this stuff. So I want it, but not at the expense of developing my passing game. And that's what I felt like yesterday. The running game, we'll see in a few weeks whether or not I regret saying this, but I'm pretty confident the running game will sort itself out. They'll be able to run the ball. They've got capable guys. They've got a decent enough line. I think they'll figure it out. And frankly, if they become a team that passes well, that will also help them run better. So what yesterday was we're playing a team that's really weak defending the pass, and we're not going to act like we want to just run. We're gonna throw it. We went and got Stephon Diggs. We drafted two receivers. We're going to do this. And they threw the ball 46 times in a game that they were way ahead in all afternoon. And I love that. It's my favorite thing about yesterday by miles, is that they looked like a team trying to figure out how to become good at that. And that it probably won't go always as smoothly as it went yesterday because you're not always going to be playing the Jets. But you got to get there. If this is ever going to get off the ground and they're going to become a real conference contender, they're going to need that piece. And to me, yesterday, like, if I could get Allen playing like that on a pretty regular basis, I think they're a contender, like a real contender. I don't know that we're going to get that. It's going to, you know, talk to me in 6 weeks after we get, you know, three or four more games like that. If they come, then, you know, I think you'll start elevating how you feel about them. I think it's only natural. I mean, that they have been so lacking in that area for so long, and it is the thing that I think they need to get good at, and they, to me, look like a team that's trying.
Yeah, for sure. The Diggs trade, Eric Wood's point about how Brown is so effective on plays where Allen leaves the pocket. Just a lot to like. Thanks for the call, John. Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus has been on the show. We have somebody coming on from PFF tomorrow. I don't know if that's been determined, but Eric, Joe, would be a good name. A good, you know, he likes us. So, and he may, I'm sorry, I just got distracted by thinking of something else to say there. Maybe he's somebody at PFF that someone else in the station hasn't been annoying to. I don't know. I don't know. He has stats on designed runs by quarterbacks this week. Allen had 10, according to Eric Eager of PFF, of his 14 rushes, 10 were on designed runs for 27 yards. His scrambles would have been 4 for 30 because he ended up at 14 for 57. Bulldog, don't look at his tweet if you haven't yet.
I haven't seen it.
He also has, he's got a few different quarterbacks here. He also has yards after contact. How many of Allen's 27 yards on designed runs yesterday came after contact?
All of them.
31. 31 of his 27 came after contact.
So more
good
than
guess.
All of them.
Yeah, you get the points. You get the points. Cam Newton for New England, 14 designed runs. I think they threw like 20 passes or something that whole game. 14 carries on designed runs for 63 yards, 39 after contact. So he did his thing. He's back. Russell Wilson, 2 for 27. They let Russell Wilson, well, cook is the phrase everybody's using for Russell Wilson. Let Russ cook.
Uh-huh.
And that happened yesterday, so good sign for Seattle passing.
Everybody's getting these designed. Jared Goff had designed runs yesterday. Is he on this list?
No.
There were a couple of bootleg runs that were just like, maybe they weren't called. I don't know, but he ran around like an empty formation on the one side a couple different times.
Yep.
He didn't get big yards, but he did it.
Yeah, you see it everywhere. Right? I mean, Burrow.
Yeah, and that's not a guy that I would pay to watch run, Goff. He is not. He looks sort of like a baby giraffe running to me.
You know,
he's not real slick looking running with the ball in his hands.
You're going to tell me I should have a visual?
Yes, of a baby giraffe running. Yes,
I have a visual, and I really don't. I can think of one. I've been down on Goff, but he made a few nice throws last night.
He really did. Yeah.
So not a bad nice game to watch.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I haven't hung with those Sunday night games. I usually tap out at halftime, but I hung in there.
Let's go to Mike next. Hi, Mike.
Hey guys, I just wanted to comment on Allen running. I don't understand why folks are so upset about him running the ball. I mean, like you guys said, it's our best play, and if he's not going to run the ball, then we might as well just start Barkley or throw Farm in there. Another point is that we're running the ball. He's going to fumble the ball, and if he's throwing it all the time, he's going to throw interceptions too.
Right.
So I think we need to just live with Allen doing what he does best, and let's just be happy about what we have here this year.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I love your attitude about turnovers because they will happen. There's a certain faction of football, whether it's media or fans or even coaches, who's like, you know, we've got to stop the fumbles. There are probably things he can do to be better at protecting the ball. There is such a thing as being better at that than someone else. But, you know, like you said it perfectly, Mike. It's going to happen. some of that is gonna happen, and you don't want to just, what do they say, cut your nose off to spite your face, mm-hmm. right? Like, live with it and take the good. And there's a lot of good. It's the easiest plays. I mean, I don't know. I don't know exactly if I need to be so literally correct about this. Just there's something about him running that makes it look like the defense is, there's only eight guys on the field. Like, they're just, they're not on the screen. And that's Daboll, right? And that's blocking. It's everybody. But you see Allen start to go, and like, what's your confidence level when you see him start to go? It should be high.
Should be high.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
One of the things that was really compelling about the playoff game was that Houston stuck them a couple times, which not everybody did last year. Like, they were tough on him. And, you know, a game like yesterday, it's just like a joke. So, yeah, the fumbles. But, you know, a lot of good plays, and they just were not threatened defensively really at all. One busted play was the Jets' offense.
Yeah, and really, that I haven't heard this. Maybe McDermott elaborated on it, but I bet he didn't. But did Edmonds not get hurt on that play? Like, he's the guy that misses the tackle. Mm-hmm. Edmonds misses the tackle on Crowder. And to me, like, it was a bad miss. Like, I was upset with the miss. And then I found out the guy's hurt, and they got hurt on that play. And I'm thinking, well, that probably explains the miss. Like, if he hurt his shoulder in the midst of trying to make that tackle, that's how you don't make the tackle, I think. Like, ow! Like, I can't use my arms anymore right now because I just hurt my shoulder.
He sort of dives at him, and Crowder runs through him. Like, he didn't expect Crowder to be as fast at that moment or something. I don't know, but I guess good news on the linebackers today that they were not.
Hope so, but, yeah, right.
You know. Sean McDermott did not. He said that he did not expect either to be out long term. Day to day is how he put it. Sports after a short break, and then back to your calls, hopefully. 803-0550, Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
It's one of those stats that it doesn't matter. The only stat I care about is the points on the scoreboard. As long as we got more than the other team, that's all I'm really focused about. But, you know, I am happy I helped put our team in a position to win a football game today, and we're going to need more of that. We're going to need some better decision-making out of me, some better throwing, and obviously got to take care of the football. That's the key to this game, you know, who can, one, score the most and turn the ball over the least. Again, this week's going to be probably pretty heavy on ball security, and, you know, it's no fault of my own, but something I'll work on.
Josh Allen. First Bill to throw for 300 yards in a game since Tyrod Taylor on Christmas Eve in 2016. That was an overtime game. In regulation, you go back to Kyle Orton in 2014, and that's also the player last to do it for the Bills in a game the Bills won. Kyle Orton in Detroit almost 6 years ago. At Miami this week, 5.5-point favorite, no Devontae Parker, coming off a win over the Jets. It's already starting to look like last year.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Although week three, it'll be the Rams instead of the Bengals. And, you know, I don't know, watching last night, there's some talent on that team, especially on defense. Like the Rams, we think about the Rams, and it's what? It's McVay, and he's a genius, and it's Goff, and is he good or not? And how are they using Gurley? Of course, Gurley's gone now. But it's always been about the offense there, I think mostly, right?
Good point.
But Aaron Donald, holy cow. What, I mean, they just, that the last couple of Dallas possessions, they just couldn't block them. I mean, they just could not block them. Donald is a wrecking machine. And, you know, Jalen Ramsey was pretty solid out there, too, at corner. But, boy, Donald is, that was a real eyeful watching him last night.
Do we know anybody who played corner in the NFL? Because I want to think that what Ramsey did that led to that pass interference call on Gallup was really outstanding. Mm-hmm. Like the way that he sort of bent his back backwards so slightly to make it look like their arms were tangled. Gallup never pushes him. He never really deserves pass interference, it seemed. But Ramsey made it look like it. Watching that play in full speed, like it was blatant to me. But it didn't happen. Right? Yeah. He just sort of like almost stutter stepped and fell back. And he got the call on his own sideline. I think that's a thing that players think about, too, is that was on the Rams sideline. There's no crowd there, but, like, yeah, that was tough on Dallas. Dallas has a problem up front. I mean, they're so loaded. And I thought, not to go on forever about that game, I thought the Jarwin injury really hurt Dallas because they put in this other guy, Schultz, and he had problems. Bill Barnwell pointed out a route mistake that he made that happened on that 4th-and-3 where Lamb got stopped short, and he had a drop or two. Like, they were excited about Jarwin in Dallas, and he went out torn ACL in the first half. So, I don't know. Like, they've had problems on the offensive line. The one guy had never played before or something. They have some new people, and they've been so good there.
Yeah, right, right.
So
yeah, if they have trouble pass blocking, that's going to be a thing. I mean, because they really have been, like, that's been one of the strengths of their day. They've devoted big assets to the line, and they've been I think graded as one of the best for the last few years. I mean, I don't, you know, we don't have to dwell on it, but like the Rams, you know, how good are the Rams? Like, that's week 3. Like, that's going to be a test, I think, based on what we saw last night.
Yeah, that was the point. That's right. That'll be very interesting. Dallas had, was it, I don't want to be wrong, but I'm going to try anyway. That's what you should do in life. Travis, the center retired or something. Dallas. Travis Frederick, is that right?
Yes, Travis Frederick.
Okay, good. Whoa, that was close.
Assuming Joe's right. I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's right. All right. Enough of us. Andrew on WGR. Hi, Andrew.
What's up, gentlemen? First and foremost, I want to say you guys put out a great show each and every day. So thanks so much for all you do for Bills Mafia.
Thank you.
I'm sitting here in the middle of the Big Apple down here in New York City as a Western New York transplant. And so first and foremost, thanks for giving us great coverage of everything going on back in Western New York for the Bills.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Thank you.
Wanted to call in to you guys because something really impressed me with the Bills' week 1 win, specifically with Stephon Diggs. And I think everybody knows Stephon Diggs as an incredible pass catcher and a technician, a route runner. But his situational awareness when he realized that ball was coming to John Brown for his touchdown, to get downfield and to create that block just for that little bit of separation for John Brown to run up that seam, really cemented Stephon Diggs, in my mind, as one of the elite wide receivers in the NFL. I don't think that anybody really gave that much appreciation, but his situation awareness and really buying into a total team-style victory, even knowing that ball didn't come to him, getting downfield to create that block really gets me excited to watch the next 15 weeks and more.
That's a great point. It's also a play where it's like one team is on it and the other team is lost. You know, like that play was just how embarrassing to give up. Guys running right through the middle of your defense on basically a lateral. That's not great. You know, Diggs, just quickly, Matthew Collar, who was with us and has been in Minnesota for a few years now, says about Diggs, we've talked to him a number of times, like he's super smart. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me. You'd point that out, Andrew. Seems like a good observation. And that's kind of like what I know of the player is he's great at getting open. And he's an intelligent guy.
Yep. I mean, he is, you know, he's smart enough to know to go block that guy. You know, I mentioned earlier, he's traffic copping for Allen in the end zone. Like, Dawson Knox is open. I'm covered, but look at this guy. And I appreciate it. Look, I mean, you know, it's just the stuff guys say after the game. Okay? So we know that. But I with that said, I liked hearing Diggs talk about the experience of playing on the field with Allen, and how, you know, it. He talked like, you know, the guy is laying it out there for you, and so you want to lay it out there for him, and I love hearing that. Like, that is the from the word go. All right, Allen, you know, has not been the most proficient passer to say the least, but his teammates love playing with him. And I'm glad to hear Diggs sound like that after week 1.
Thanks, Andrew. Keep in touch. Here's Josh with us. Hello, Josh.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, about the fumble issue with Josh Allen, it doesn't really bother me too much. I loved what I saw yesterday. I kind of see a turnover as – I've always hated turnovers just like I hate punts or missed field goals or things like that. It's a failed drive.
Right.
But my point is, yesterday after the game, I think it was either one of you guys said something that really got me thinking was the Bills kind of seemed like as the game went throughout, the game was closer than it really was score-wise. But it kind of seemed like the Bills were just trying things out or didn't want to show their full hand of plays. And I thought the reason that made me think was because for years, the Patriots were always had games that were closer than they should have been. But I always thought that the Patriots were just kind of practicing and trying things out because they knew ultimately in the fourth quarter they were going to pull away and win.
And, I agree with you. And because they had so many games that were easy for them that they were going to hold stuff back. They had the luxury of holding back some of their stuff until December, till late in the season or the playoffs. Like, think about what a luxury a coach would find that. Because you study on a team and then you line up to play them and they just are different and they can beat you before you have time to figure it out.
Yep.
So
for sure. I've made that point about the Patriots. There were a couple of years where the Jets, when they were dominant running the ball, I think looked like that against the Bills. I'm thinking of Rex's, like, 09, maybe 2010 Jet teams doing that to the Bills a couple times. It's been a very long time since I watched a Bills game and felt like the Bills were doing that to an opponent, but that's what I felt like they were doing yesterday. Like, we're just gonna work on the stuff we want to get good at, or even just lay stuff out here that is just meant to deceive you into thinking we're going to do this to you, and we're really not. But either way, it's just you're comfortable with the game, you know you've got it in hand, and that's a very specific kind of football game, and the Bills have been on the wrong end of that most of the time, and yesterday they were on the right end of it.
Yeah, another quick point on that, because I love this point. Wow, Josh, I mean, a lot of people today doing a great job. What's cool about that, I think, is comeback wins get all the credit. Even like in terms of Allen. Oh, well, he had this number of comeback wins. It's better to be ahead in games, because then you have luxuries, including, managing the clock, or even this. We don't need that today. Because of the score, we are in control of this game. The team that comes back from 21-0 is like, wow. And it's all those narratives that you get sick of about, oh, they're so tough or they're so resilient. Just, like the other team isn't. It's better for you to score your points early. If you know how many points each team is going to score in a given game, you want the lead because you can run the show with the lead. And if a guy is not 100%, and it's an important game, you can save them. There's all kinds of ways you can go, and the team that's losing does not have those advantages. The team that's losing has to sacrifice. So, it's not a playoff game. This is a season, and this is the first game of the season. So if it in any way yesterday afforded the Bills that sort of thing, good for them. Right. Jump on them. The Jets kick a field goal. The field goal sucks. They're already down 21-0. Like they can't play the game straight anymore because they're down by so much. And not enough attention gets paid to the importance of that. All the credit goes to the team that can pull out games. Well, not as good.
This point fits in nicely with where we started with it, which is running on having Allen on designed runs up 21-0. Like that's something I don't need. It's not going to be a surprise to anybody that we're going to run Allen because he's good at it, and we want to have that be something that can hurt you, but I don't need to be doing it when I'm up 21-0 already. Like, let's do something else.
Let's do something else. Hear about life on Venus?
Yes. I saw something about it, but I've not. I haven't done a lot of work on it, I got to admit.
In the clouds.
I'm intrigued. I want to hear more.
Should go. We'll see
How
up.
Long would it take
what's
to get
there?
To Venus?
1,000 years.
Joe, over under. I'm going to say under.
I'm going to say under as well.
I'm going to say under 1,000 years. I will say 8 years.
I feel like if I walk to Venus, it might not take. I probably would take 1,000
years. 8 years is my guess.
No. 5 months.
5 months?
5 months.
By
spaceship.
By spaceship?
Which seems to be the appropriate way to travel to Venus these days.
I was thinking by like the David Blaine method. Strap yourself to a bunch of balloons.
Yeah.
I think that's when I said 8 years, that's what I was planning on there.
Mm.
Well, very interesting story. We'll be monitoring it here.
There's always more to ponder.
We'll be monitoring that story.
Put a football for you.
Sure we will. Yeah. We'll let you know if there's any more developments about life on Venus coming up in the next segment.
Don't have to worry about whether the Bills will move to Venus like we used to worry about these things. Tonight on WGR, after our show, it's the Steelers-Giants game. Monday Night Football, the doubleheader, the traditional week one doubleheader.
Love it. Love it.
Me too. 7 and 10:15. I don't know if I'll make it all the way through Tennessee-Denver, but I'm intrigued by that game. I like that game. The second game will not be on WGR tonight, just the first one.
Okay.
See?
Noted.
We're like, you prioritize the beginning.
What if I'm listening to WGR on Venus?
Is that east or west of here? Because that would affect how good the reception will be.
Right.
Where's Balk when we need him? Greg, if you're out there, is Venus east or west of here? I'll tweet at him. Don't worry about it, everybody. We'll get you that answer. 803-0550, Buffalo Bills Football Monday, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
It's a little frustrating when, you know, defense making stops, you know, in years past and the offense not moving the football. Just like they can say the same thing about us if we're not, you know, getting stops on defense. But, you know, today we know what type of guys there is on offense. And this season, you know, as long as we can stay healthy, you know, it's we know the sky's the limit for our offense. So seeing them score points and move the football like that, you know, they do it on this in practice. So it's not really a surprise.
Micah Hyde in the aftermath of the Bills win 27-17 over the Jets at Miami Sunday at 1. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here having fun, taking your calls at 803-0550. Joe says, I think you want to play this game. And I said, I'm. It's not about Venus. We might want to play this.
People are yelling at us. 3 months, by the way, it only takes to get
3 months.
Not five, I'm sorry.
Why didn't we all go there in like April? We would have been there by now.
Say, like 1,000 years?
Yeah. You said 1,000 years.
I took the under. Yeah.
A little bit like your picks this week.
I'm
way off.
A little bit. Oh, there it is.
1-3.
I can't believe it took until now.
Also, 2 catches for Dawson Knox.
Not great.
Start.
Not great, but not terrible. I'm not going to kill you.
Yeah, I'm all right there. He'll have his days.
1-3 in the picks with Pittsburgh -6 tonight.
Yeah.
I had 4-1. We both lost the college game.
Yeah, your college game got delayed for a while too. Like I was looking for that on Saturday, and it was just weather delay. Like what?
We both picked big favorites and lost outright. Like really terrible.
Right.
You couldn't do much worse than we did in our college picks. Iowa State and Florida State.
Yeah.
But pros went well for me. I got lucky on a couple. Miami was close, and Raiders by a point.
Yeah, we were opposite on that Miami thing, so I could have used that. And of course, that Detroit, the DeAndre Swift drop, that would have been a win for me. I had them.
Yes,
over the Bears.
Yes.
So here's football. That's how it goes.
Here is Mark with us now. Hi, Mark.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Great.
I'm just calling. Really, like, I love how far this team's came under McDermott. Right, like, it's Victory Monday, and we're nitpicking on if McDermott or if Josh Allen just stopped running the ball as much as he does. The dude has more rushing touchdowns than Saquon Barkley in the same amount of games played. Like, it's new. And I love that we're sitting here. This is the biggest thing we're talking about. But piggyback off of that, did anybody else notice that Gabe Davis has kind of got to figure out how to block? I just sent you a tweet. I tagged you in it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a play 13 minutes left in the first quarter, 1st and 10. If Davis hits his block, Brown hit his, Beasley hit his, he's going to the end zone. It's a 50-yard touchdown, like, easily. So I just want to hang up and listen, see if anybody else knows that about Gabe Davis. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. I don't see it, but I'll look for it.
I'm assuming you're not the same person who somebody tagged me in this, but it was yesterday because I was complimenting. No, it was today because I saw the snap counts and I was happy. Davis played like 49% of the offensive snaps, and somebody was there to tell me, like this caller, like he needs to work on his blocking. I don't know if it's the same guy, obviously, but, you know, sure.
Chances are it's possible.
Yeah, right. And my pleasure with him being on the field is that it's a sign that they're looking to develop a fourth receiving option because they want to use four wideouts like at the same time, which they did pretty frequently yesterday, and that's encouraging to me. So I wasn't prepared to, like, go Greg Cosell on Gabriel Davis's performance overall. It's mostly just what it means philosophically is encouraging to me that he's on the field.
I think he had a penalty early, too. Didn't he have a block in the back penalty or something, Davis, early?
Maybe
in this game?
That's right. Yeah. All right. Well, then bench him.
Update.
Forget everything I said. Bench him.
Update on another story we've been discussing and covering today. Bauk says Venus is north of us.
Oh.
Which is a great answer because it's up in the sky.
Right. Straight up. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a sitter. Yeah. All right, we've got so one particular challenge before the Bills has been met from yesterday's game. On to the next one. We'll describe and explain after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Buffalo Bills Football Monday here on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.